KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly, and I won't interrupt you with any kind of stupid questions or anything because I know you're running the whole newsroom. So, man, that guy's got some skill. And folks, welcome to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but right now you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. You'll get in line with your questions, concerns, or comments. And by the way, thanks for having me on your show. You can give a call. We can talk about plant selection, ups and downs, and all arounds. How are your annuals doing? How about your summer bulbs? How about the edibles? How your garden, is it doing okay? A lady right down the street from me, I walk past her house many times during my pre-dawn walks. She always has had great luck with her vegetables. But this year, I forget which variety of plant it was, but it imploded. It was really kind of sad to see. How's your ground covers doing? How about your house plants? Start looking at them kind of closely. You're not going to bring them in yet. It's not necessary. You can always wait until towards the end of mid to late September to bring them in, but start watching for insects or disease problems. How about your lawn? Your zoysias should be still looking spectacular, except it's been so dry. Your cool season lawns, they still may be kind of limping along. So perennials, roses, trees, shrubs, or water gardens. How about vines as well? I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is certainly not the only garden path to take, but strictly offered for you to consider. James is producing today, and during the week, I do landscape consulting, which I call a walk and talk. We come to your home, I take a look at a list of problems or concerns that you have. Also, I look around to see if there's other things impacting your landscape that maybe you haven't considered. This walk and talk, yeah, I can do it. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. The homepage will have my email address and phone number listed. Contact me and we'll go from there. And now, special recognition for individual group or a situation that's made an impression on me is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel goes out to everybody in this entire region as we have battled this really hot circumstance. And I mean, there are still some spectacular yards and plants and everything else. Everybody's had some kind of problems with their yard. There's no getting around it, whether you got professional help or not, or whether you're doing it all yourself. So the tip of the trowel goes out to everybody that gets out there and really takes a look around, tries to have a circumstance, a situation to make it better. So thank you, because as I walk around or drive around, nothing's more enjoyable than checking out, other people's yards and everything else. There has been some spectacular things I have seen. So thanks to you. And let's see. Can we go ahead and take a call or two? Let's go to Josh. And Josh is in O'Fallon, Illinois. Hi, Josh.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Very good.
Got two questions for you. First off, we bought our property a couple years ago and it had a couple aged, mature walnut trees in the backyard. And I noticed that both trees have a bunch of, and when I Googled it, it looked like sapsucker holes, the lines, up and down,
right,
all down. And the walnut trees, again, are beautiful, green, but aren't producing any walnuts whatsoever. Could that have been affected by whatever happened to them earlier?
No, the sapsuckers, they're smart enough. They want the sap. So they're not going to ever, even though you may see hundreds of holes on, I have them on the sugar maples in our, as our street trees. They come, they do a hole about a quarter inch or a little bit less, and they're usually four or five across. These birds are.
Yep.
And so consequently, that should not impact the actual walnut production of your tree or anything else. So, it doesn't impact the maple squirts being produced or sycamore balls or sweet gum balls or anything else. So it's just a question of the trees maybe age-wise or something along that line. But then, walnut trees or most nut trees have years where they go big as far as production-wise, and then they could have a year or two where they go minimal. But if you had several years with no walnuts, then you're probably kind of at the end of their production life.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea how old they are.
Yeah.
So I was just curious as if there was something I could do to kickstart them to start doing it again.
Well, maybe a incantation, under this red moon or whatever they're calling the moon right now. Yeah.
All right. And my second question, when we did buy the property, we planted a couple different fruit trees, and one of them was a gala apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaves I've noticed here recently have spots all over them. The yellow, the leaves are turning yellow, and it's like a little circular raised area. And again, Google's your friend, I guess. And to the best of our ability, it maybe looks like they have what's called apple scabies or something like that.
Right.
I've read that neem oil is the best way to go about this. Is there some other better, and also should I be removing all of those affected leaves? Or?
No, removing them is not going to make that much difference. Just start doing a preventative type thing. As the weather next year, before the new foliage, just as the new foliage is coming out, you can use a neem oil or you can use a fungicide. Specifically for this problem, but there's not really anything that you can do right now that's going to make that much difference.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and thanks again for having the show. We love it.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on your show. Let's go to Jan's yard. Jan is in Sappington. Hi, Jan.
Hello. We have a problem with wild violets.
Yeah, they are very, 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 very difficult to get under control. So it's just going to be a long, involved process. They're kind of like the nut grass in a way, the way they produce seed. The flower will produce a seed, but also right as where the stems of the leaf goes into the ground and runs into the crown, there is a little head that's right there. And so consequently, that little head that rises up produces seed there as well. So once you've got a well-established area, going after it is just going to be a long, involved process. I would say don't buy a huge amount of any kind of herbicide specifically. Try small amounts of different ones and see which is the most effective in your yard and in your circumstance. But getting rid of the violets is going to be, like I said, unbelievably arduous.
Well, they're all around, in addition to being in the lawn, they're all underneath our azaleas, in the gardens, everywhere this year.
Right. This was, when the weather goes, let's say, nasty for many plants, things like weeds, like a violet, they thrive. So consequently, this is just, then you're going to pay, let's say, the echo effect for multiple years after this to try to get them under control.
Just use something like Spectracide.
Right. Anything, read on the label, make sure it does list violets, but that doesn't necessarily make sure and guarantee that you're going to get, the kill that you need. So like I said, just get small amounts of, herbicides, find out which is going to be the most effective in your situation.
When's the best time to do that? In the fall?
No, ASAP.
Oh, okay.
The unfortunate thing about doing it now is if the plants are older, they're going to have a waxy cuticle on the leaf. So that waxy cuticle is something plants just evolve themselves to prevent them from the foliage or leaves from sunburning. So waxy cuticle means the herbicides are going to be a little bit less impactful because, earlier in the year would be the ideal time. But I would say start on it now if you've got a major problem.
Hmm. What about Roundup?
Roundup, as long as you don't get it on, good plants, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with any type of herbicide, I always like to stomp on the things that you're going to right before you spray. And that way, by stepping on things, you open up wounds. And that kind of takes care of, let's say, or lessens the impact of the waxy cuticle and just opens up open wounds. And the herbicide can be sucked in a little bit easier.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough situation or circumstance.
You're talking years?
Yes, yes.
Seriously.
I mean, we've been in our house, let's say, 10 years in South City. And, it was nutgrass and violet farm, I think. Mm-hmm. And consequently, I finally got about both of them down to about 90% under control.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
And I do digging. I use herbicides. I do both. And so.
You pull them up.
Pardon me?
You can pull them up.
Yeah, just use a weeding tool to make sure you get the entire root system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And let's see if we can get another call before we go to break. Tony is in Arnold. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Mike. I have two questions for you. I have a fescue blend yard, and we do a pre-emergent. We always aerate and seed. And it looks like some Bermuda is taking over in some sections. Ooh. Is there anything I can do for that?
Where the Bermuda is, you're just going to have to go out there with either a grass killer, spray it on there, or with Roundup. And if you're worried about drifting from the spray, just paint the Roundup right onto it. But Bermuda is a very, very difficult, let's say, weedy grass to get under control.
Okay. And second question is there anything I can do to help prevent a fungus, like the dollar spot fungus or anything?
Yeah, for the most part, start early and watch. Kind of keep a record of where you've seen it. There's not too much you can do now. You can put a fungicide down now. That may keep it from getting, you know, let's say, expanding even that much more. But know that you can be spread around by people's feet, animals' feet, squirrels and dogs and things like that, your mower blades. So just watch out. But next year, take a look at where you've had a history of dollar spot. Go out there with a fungicide before you see the dollar spot at all. That's the best way to get it under control. It's, you know, to start as a proactive preventer as opposed to a post-emergent circumstance.
Okay. Hey, back to the fescue real fast. If I spray the Roundup on there, is that going to kill all my grass too? Is that what I have to do?
Yeah, for the most part. Okay. If you want to get rid of the Bermuda, just, you know, let's say, put something around it so it doesn't get on your good grass. But if it's mixed in with your, let's say, your fescues, then there's not really too much you can do. There's nothing that's going to be selective enough just to get rid of the Bermuda.
Do I have to take care of the soil, get rid of the soil as well and change that out? Or?
No, you don't have to.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Yeah, and the Bermuda, birds love it for making nests, so that's what happens. So why don't we take a break? Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
I'll bet you like pizza. Well, let me tell you, KMOX and Feast Magazine have teamed up to present the Battle of the Slices on August 16th, a heated competition for fans to decide what is the best pizza place in St. Louis. For more information, check out the event calendar at KMOX.com. Now let's go back to the phones. Let's head to High Ridge and go into Gary's yard. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I got a quick question for you. Out on my deck, I got one of those Venus flytraps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting out there one evening, and a fly lands, so I whacked it with my fly swatter, and I thought, oh, what the heck? And I put it in, like, one of his little mouths or whatever you call it. Is that okay to like do that or not?
Well, it's okay. They don't need a whole lot of them. So if you start swatting and killing a bunch of flies, just don't, you know, because it's kind of cool to see the thing close up.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, really fast.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if you know the movie, but where there's the Venus flytrap saying, feed me, feed me.
That was a great one, right?
But they don't need a whole lot. It's just most of their energy is coming actually because they're a plant. That just kind of supplements them a little bit. But, yeah, it's like I said, it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and then, how about watering the thing? It was sitting out on the deck, and we got the big deluge of rain last week or whatever. Should I water it, once a week, or?
No, just, routinely water it. I'm assuming, is it in potting soil, or is it in, more of a moss-type thing?
Oh, it's in, potting soil and a little
mix. I would say wait until the inside of the pot look, and once the potting mix starts shrinking away from the inside and you start to see a little gap, water it at that time. Because it's very, they're very easily overwatered.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, that, and then if the thing gets 8 feet tall and tries to eat me, I'll let you know.
Take a picture, too, as it starts consuming you.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, thank you. And now let's go to Highland, Illinois, and into Denny's yard. Hi, Denny.
Hi, Mike. Hi. How are you doing this morning?
Very good.
Two questions for you. First of all, is water grass. Is there any kind of, killer of water grass that won't bother my grass?
Yeah, if you're talking about nut grass, it's when it feels triangular when it's going into the ground. It has chartreuse leaves. So
no, I do have nut grass as well, and I do have something that it does work for that. But this is water grass, or maybe it's called Johnson grass.
Oh no, there's nothing that's specifically going to target that against other types of grasses.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's an unfortunate thing. I mean, that's sort of in the same, you know, same circumstances, the crabgrasses and things along that line. It's just you should, you know, use a pre-emergent, and that's going to be the, you know, the most effective way to get it under control.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I was afraid you were going to say that. secondly, we have part of our landscaping here that we're going to redo this fall, and it has ground cover. It has ivy in it right now, and we want to remove the ivy. And should we kill that this fall with Roundup and not plant anything new until next spring? Is that the right route to go?
I would say put your mower low. Go over the ivy right now and start doing the applications of Roundup. You can kill it off now, or at least get it sort of tumbling downhill.
Okay. And then should we still wait till next spring to plant some new bushes and things like that?
Well, you know, it'd be whatever plants that you're planning on doing, but just realize that you're probably not going to kill all the ivy off, all at once. So get it going, and once it starts to get under control, then you can go ahead and, you see new sprigs coming up, then go after it again with the Roundup. And how old is this? How old is the ivy?
Oh, it's probably 20 years old.
You might think about using the Roundup for killing poison ivy and woody plant material. That might be better than just the regular, Roundup.
Okay.
But if you do mow it, that's going to help because you're opening up wounds and everything else on your plant material.
Right. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate your help.
Yep. And should we take another call before break? Yeah. Let's go to Alan in Alton. Hi, Alan.
Good morning, Mike. Is nut grass and water grass the same?
Yeah. Common names are really tough. If it's like this gentleman just said, he says he has nut grass, but he has water grass as well. So, it's tough to know what water grass is. I always assume, water grass is nut grass because it does like wetter areas, but it doesn't have to have it because it's, it can grow in really dry areas as well. So it's probably not the same thing.
Okay. It grows almost overnight. When you mow the grass, it's already the next day it's growing, and I'm looking at it right now. It's 8 inches in my yard.
Yikes.
And I mowed in less than a week.
So now, is this a chartreuse colored nut grass or is this the water grass?
Well, I think this is the water grass. It's a green.
Yeah.
Like a shiny green.
Yeah, so it's probably an annual type of grass, and so a pre-emergent is going to be your better way to go, about it. I don't know exactly what this is, but if it is a warm season weed, then the pre-emergent goes down when the forsythia is in bloom.
Uh-huh, okay. So wait till spring.
Yeah, exactly. Early, very early spring. That's when you put the pre-emergent down. If you've got big patches of the same thing, I don't see anything wrong with just treating those patches with, like a Roundup type thing or a grass killer. Just make sure you don't overspray the spot because you don't want to damage your good lawn.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
Yep. Thank you for calling. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Ready for the Cards and Cubs this afternoon. Ameren Total Access, 210. First pitch with Shannon and Rooney, 305. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX. This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, a lot of weed calls today, but also there's a lot of insects out there as well. There's mealybugs, there's aphids, there's thrips, there's mites, there's red clover mites, there's slugs, Japanese beetles. We have had a couple bagworm calls, whitefly, scale, grasshoppers. I don't know why in my yard, you know, our garage goes along the alley. And the only place I have grasshoppers is in that bed space. It's about, you know, the length of the garage, maybe 20 or plus feet or something, and about 3 or 4 feet wide. But, man, the number of grasshoppers in there is just driving me nuts. And so I go out there, I spray. That drives the grasshoppers up onto the garage wall, and then I squeeze them. That's what I decided to do with the grasshoppers. Also, grubs. Grubs are going to be very active this time of year. So if you think you potentially have a grub problem, or you go out and all of a sudden you pull on some sod and it lifts up and you see some grubs, more than 6 per square foot, you got grub problems, put the grub killer down, like Grubex or something along that line. Because they're up near surface now, they're eating, and then what's going to happen is they're not going to morph into adults this year. They're going to go back down in the ground deeper, and consequently then the Grubex and, you know, chemicals like that are not as effective. So get them, you know, get a grub control down now, or find out if you do have a grub problem and apply the grubs. And please remember that just because you have grubs doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have moles, or moles are not there because of the grubs. Moles, their main diet is earthworms. The grubs are strictly appetizers, just like millipedes, pill bugs, centipedes, and all the rest of those things. So grubs do not necessarily mean that you're going to have moles. So let's go now to Darnell in University City. Hi, Darnell.
How you doing?
Very good.
Okay, I have several questions. I have about a 15-foot magnolia tree.
Mm-hmm.
It has never bloomed.
Now, is it the evergreen type?
So, in other words, evergreen.
So it's the leaves stay on it through the entire winter time.
Correct.
So it may be an age factor.
It has never bloomed.
Yeah, but 15 feet is not necessarily huge. But are you pruning on it at all?
No.
Okay, so then it's just a matter, and it's in full sun.
No.
Oh, well, that may be either one of the, you know, the full sun could be some one of the factors that's impacting the, let's say, the bud set. So don't do any pruning, don't do anything, and if you get disgusted with it, just get rid of it.
Well, it grew up under a 50-foot oak tree.
Oh, well, you know, so that's going to be, you know, the major impact on probably not being able to have enough energy, even though the foliage looks good and full size and everything else and is 15 feet high, to be able to set flower buds. Because that's, you know, the evergreen type bloom in the summer, so now is the time of year when it would have flowers on it. So if it's not flowering, it's got to be the location where it's growing.
Oh, so just cut it down?
Right.
Okay, I have a Japanese maple.
Mm-hmm.
It won't grow.
Again,
it's in the ground about 6 years.
Yeah, so again, if it's too close to larger trees, they can almost do like a Japanese bonsai, which is where they grow full-size trees in little bitty dishes. Because if there's existing trees close to this Japanese maple, the existing tree could have root systems that are more or less strangling the Japanese maple root system, and that prevents any kind of growth.
There aren't any trees at all. There's some ground cover and some. It's in a flower bed.
Okay, so then, you know, why it's not growing? Is it one that has very? Does it look like an umbrella?
Yes.
So that one will never get any taller. It will only get wider.
It's not even getting wider.
So does the foliage look okay?
Right now, it's not even red. It's kind of orangey.
Yeah, so some of the varieties are going to do that. Some of them will start maroon, and then they'll kind of go back to green, and then later on, you know, when the weather comes. So as long as it looks healthy, that's about all you can expect out of it.
Okay. I have fescue, tall fescue, zoysia, bluegrass, in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe about a month ago, in the tall fescue pot, which dominates the area by the driveway, I see some curly grass. It looks, is that Bermuda?
It certainly could be, if it's kind of a more of a blue green rather than a dark green.
Yeah, it came and spread real quick.
Right. So a bird probably dropped it. It may be sort of, let's say, getting itself accelerated over the last year or two, and then it exploded this year.
So what did I do? Will Weed and Feed take care of it?
No, Weed and Feed will not do a thing for it. Weed and Feed kills broadleaf weeds. It does not kill any kind of grass. So if it's a big patch of of this grass, you can go out there and spray Roundup on it to try to get it, or use a grass killer, but just make sure you don't get it on your good grass.
Okay, they have Roundup that won't hurt good grass, don't they?
No.
What?
No, not that I know of.
Thought I saw something like that.
Well, maybe there is, and I'm just not familiar with it. And I haven't used it, so I hate to say something, use something, if I haven't personally used it myself.
Okay, I got a blue spruce. It turned brown.
It's dead. So either weather-wise or, something, so it's a goner once it's brown.
Okay.
So you're going to have to remove it.
I got in my front yard, there was a big spot I used Roundup on.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 3 weeks, the grass started growing into the spot. Then there's something there that looks like grass, and it's a weed. And it's light green.
That's probably the nutgrass that we've been talking about. So, Darnell, I'm going to have to go to some other caller. So dig up something that you're not sure of what it is and take it to your favorite garden center. So thanks, Darnell. And now let's go to Doris in Lima. Hi, Doris.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, Mike, I have a peony bush. It's about 25 years old. And every year it's been beautiful, blooming, big flowers and mm-hmm. everything. This year it bloomed. And then the flowers dried off,
Right.
And after that, all the leaves got like a white, it looks almost like a white bush now. And all the leaves are drying up and crinkling. What do you think that is?
It's probably powdery mildew. So next year, just as the foliage comes up out of the ground and looks like that hand coming up, start an application of a fungicide.
A fungicide.
Right.
Okay, and then that should take care of it.
Right. So it's not just one application. You're probably going to have to make a couple applications until the foliage comes completely up and starts to open. That would be when your last application of the fungicide will occur.
Okay, so should I just leave it go now? I don't need to cut it off.
No, I would cut it off, because if you don't, then you're going to be looking at it and it's going to be worrying you.
Yeah, it's really ugly lot.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, just cut it down to the ground.
Right, okay, very good. Thank you.
Yep. And if anybody else has any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Don and Arnold, how are you? Hello, Don. Don's not there? Okay. So let's go to Rick in St. Louis. Hi, Rick.
Yeah. How you doing, Mike?
Very good.
Hey, I've got beautiful tomato plants, and I've got different varieties. Some of my buds were falling off, so I got some of that spray for them. And I have multitudes of small tomatoes on the top, nothing in between. And it's the first I've been gardening for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they look about the size of golf balls. I don't know whether this is the old weather related or they're going to enlarge. But have you any idea what's going on?
It could be weather related. Are you keeping them well watered and fertilizing them routinely? So they need tomato food basically every 2 weeks, and they need to be. Tomatoes don't like to go through any kind of drought stress whatsoever. So that's probably in conditions with the weather conditions we've had, that's probably impactful as much as anything.
I bought the tomato fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
and when I planted, I put it in there as I planted. But now I still have some. Now, do you can't just throw it on the ground and hope that the rain takes it in. You have to dig around the diameter of the plant.
Right. So you can buy a powder type that you mix in a bucket of water and just pour it on. Or if you have a granular type, then you have to water it in yourself.
Oh, and what do you mean by watering it?
Taking a hose, after you sprinkle the fertilizer, taking a hose over there and water it so it starts penetrating into the ground.
Yes, I did do that.
Okay.
I did do that. So I guess I need to do that. I have one more question. I go out and spray the liquid spot spray, like Oxyalis and what is that, Nuthedge? Nuthedge. When I kill it, who moves in but the crabgrass?
Right. It's a constant battle. I mean, there's a weed sitting there waiting to jump into any kind of circumstance.
Any bare ground.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it's been a terrible year. This is worse year than I know of for crabgrass.
Yes, it is. Crabgrass and spurge, it's really been terrible. So thanks, Rick, and we'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
We've got about 8 more minutes of the Garden Hotline. Then at 10 o'clock, Investing Sense with Andy Smith and Bob Richards. 11 o'clock, the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show with Scott Mosby. 1 o'clock, Baseball Hall of Fame Special with Bob Costas. So let's go to the phones. Carol lives in Kirkwood. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I have a question about Creeping Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my yard is about 80-90% Creeping Charlie. And yeah, so I can't afford to replace the whole thing. And I think the only thing that'll really kill it is dicamba, maybe.
That will certainly work. But then you're going to have a bare yard.
Okay, but my other thought is, call me crazy, I kind of like that I don't have to mow much, and I'm wondering if just leaving it as long as I keep it out of my neighbor's yards, which I have an idea how to do that. Do you know anyone that's ever done that?
Yes, my father. We had a home. We moved from the city to Ellisville in 55. You know, some of the out there, his philosophy was if it's green, that's fine. So we had a mixture of all kinds of different things in our yard. Some of the neighbors went, you know, they wanted traditional lawns, but my father said, I'm not wasting my time.
How'd that work out?
Well, it was fine. I mean, we got to, you know, we got Clatonia. We had other things, you know, coming up in the yard, wildflowers, you know, low. There was violets. There was all this stuff. And, you know, as a kid, I cut the grass. I didn't really care. So that's kind of what it looked, you know. I mean, that was the circumstance.
Okay, so do you think if I have a brick mow strip on one side of my yard,
mm-hmm.
if I do the three sides, because the Creeping Charlie seems to, it'll grow over it, so it's really easy to pull back away from my neighbor's yards.
Right.
So I was thinking if I just inserted some kind of vertical barrier and then put the mow strips on the other two sides, that my neighbors wouldn't hate me?
Well, I don't know about that. They may hate you for other reasons. But you will, you know, get it under control, but you're just going to have to watch it. Don't expect the edger to keep it, you know, let's say confined.
I was just trying to prevent the underground.
Right.
The over, it's easy to pull out.
Sure, right. Exactly. So, yeah, give it a shot.
All right, because with the dicamba, is it 100% kill or?
Well, there's nothing that's going to be 100% kill, to be honest. Because there's always going to be fragments that don't get, you know, let's say enough of the chemical on them or whatever it happens to be. So.
Right. And then last question real quick is I also last year got some mugwort, which I'm definitely trying to keep at bay. Is there a preferred thing to kill it?
Not that I can think of. Just head to your favorite garden center, tell them what you got, take a sample with them in case they don't know, and let them sort of decide from all the chemicals they have.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Yep, and now let's go to Florissant. Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mike?
Very good.
I have a question about, we have zoysia grass, mm-hmm. and our front yard is really good, but our backyard all of a sudden started getting, like, other grass in it, and then, like, last year, I mean, it has areas that are just completely dead. I mean, there's a little bit of zoysia trying to start growing, but I don't know how to get it to start growing again or what happened.
Well, you should probably have a lawn service come out and take a look at it. You know, contact the lawn doctor, have them come and look, find out if this is fungus, if this is insect-related, because there's chinch bugs, which have been doing major damage to some of the zoysia lawns. And so it could be the age of your, you know, the age of your zoysia as well. So several different factors could be playing a role. And so rather than just sort of like trying to figure it out yourself, I'd get a professional to come out and take a look.
Right. Now, the age of zoysia, what is that? Because it's, we've had that grass. We moved in there when I was 10, so it's definitely old.
So, I mean, it could just be an age factor. I mean, you haven't replugged it or anything probably through that whole time. So, I mean, it's just like everything gets exhausted ultimately, whether it's a couch, a car, or anything else, or people.
Gotcha. Can you buy zoysia plugs, or do you have to take them out of, like, your front?
No, no, you can buy them. You can buy pieces of sod. You can buy the plugs both.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Yep, so Lawn Doctor, give them a call or go to lawndoctor.com. Joanne in St. Charles. Joanne, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for our show. I have a question about my cherry tree. It's not a weeping cherry tree. It's just the regular kind.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the leaves have, like, brown dots on it. It's a big tree because I've had it now for about 15 years. So is there something wrong with it, do you think, because the leaves have, like, little brown, not little, like brown spots on some of the leaves?
Yeah, it's a fungus. And basically, if it's something that really bothers you, next year, just as the foliage starts emerging, that's when you want to start spraying a fungicide. And depending upon which fungicide you're using, you want to spray it and then wait for a week or two and then spray it again. You're probably going to have to make three applications.
Ooh, if I want to have it trimmed, I want to do that. When should I have it trimmed?
If you like the flowers in the springtime, have it pruned right after it finishes flowering.
So I shouldn't do it now this time of year?
No, you're cutting off the flower. It doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt. You know, so consequently, you know, you can go ahead and do it.
Okay. All right, because it's a beautiful tree, but it's getting so big.
Right.
And I'm afraid the limbs are going to break if we get a lot of snow or something this winter.
They're probably not going to break, to be honest with you. They're pretty tough.
Okay, thank you so much for your show, and have a great day.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it. So.
Okay, bye now.
Yeah, so I guess we're probably about finished. Sorry, folks. We're not going to be able to get to everybody, but you know, hopefully the Garden Hotline will be back. So Rich and Marianne and Tom and Candace and, you know, Joanne from Creevecore, sorry, we're just about out of time. So the weather's getting cooler, so now is the time to really get out there and take a look around at what's going on, get some professionals to come out and help you, because this guessing game becomes really, really tough. You can see with the weather, we don't know. Hopefully the rain is going to come, and I'm going to mention it again. They're predicting rain for tonight, you know, after midnight or so. So water today to soften your ground so the rain tonight can soak in much better. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. I will see you next week.